Spotify now allows you to rate the podcasts that you love on the app itself. So if you enjoy listening to Stories After Dark, please give it a 5-star rating by going to the show's main page on Spotify and clicking on the rating or star icon below the podcast description. Thank you. Overseas Filipino workers, or OFWs, comprise one of the largest migrant worker populations across the globe. In 2002, a Filipino man went to the United Kingdom to work as a nurse for the elderly. Unfortunately, he was less than qualified to do so, and in 2011, he knowingly poisoned more than 20 patients with insulin. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify with new episodes out every week. This is the story of Victorino Chua and the poisonings he caused at the Stepping Hill Hospital in the UK, which resulted in 3 deaths. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic nature of this story. Victorino Domingo Chua was born on October 30, 1965 in Caloocan City, Metro Manila, the 3rd of the 6 children of Angel Chua Sr. and Juanita Domingo. Chua's father Angel ran a computer business and was a womanizer who often neglected his legal family. According to Chua's mother Juanita, Angel had a total of 8 other children with not just one but his 3 mistresses. In a letter that Chua would later write, which would be used as a vital piece of evidence to explain his motivations for his later crimes, Chua said that his family was the envy of their cousins and neighbors, but he came to hate his parents, particularly Angel, who was often away taking care of his mistresses and his other children with them. Chua's mother Juanita was too young, having given birth at the age of just 14 years old to Chua's eldest sibling, but though it's unclear whether her youth was the reason she couldn't take care of her children, Chua wrote in his letter that he and his siblings got split up after his parents separated. Chua ended up living with his paternal grandmother and uncle, along with Chua's younger brother Narciso. Chua would only see his father once or twice a week when Angel would give him his allowance, and Chua would only see the rest of his siblings on special occasions like birthdays, Christmas, and the New Year. Chua acquired a taste for smoking, alcohol, drugs, and other illegal activities in high school, and he also witnessed the same from his uncle, who was also a womanizer. When Chua was 21, his father died of a heart attack right in front of him, plunging their family into poverty. Chua suddenly felt a sense of responsibility to support the rest of his siblings and not end up like his parents. Chua's grandmother encouraged him to take up nursing, promising to pay for him to become a doctor on the condition that he gets his nursing degree. Despite not liking the idea of becoming a nurse, Chua enrolled in the course at the Metropolitan Hospital College of Nursing in Metro Manila. He struggled with his classes though and found his school fees too high. He was thrown out after 3 years when he failed to reach the required minimum grade. Chua then transferred to the privately run Galang Medical Center College, which was less expensive but also far less reputable, as it had one of the lowest nursing licensure exam passing rates in the country, and its hospital standards of care were so low that most patients in critical condition never made it out alive. There, he became friends with doctors who provided his family with free healthcare, and he ran errands for a wealthy student, such as getting illegal substances for him. Chua also learned to make dirty money so he can buy designer clothes for him to belong to the elite group. Chua worked hard, getting up at 4 a.m. to bathe his grandmother and returning at around 7 p.m. after his classes. After graduating in October 1989 with a bachelor's degree in nursing, he immediately started working at Galang Medical Center. On the side, however, he sold healthcare products, clothes, and electronic gadgets in a manner that wasn't entirely legal. Chua fought off the attention of female hospital colleagues until he wooed Marianne Guadalupe, the sister of one of his patients. After he got bored of her, he dated another woman named Mary Ann. Chua was fired from Galang because of what he referred to as union issues. He got into buying and selling cars until sometime in the early 1990s, when he was offered a place at the Metropolitan Medical Center, despite having been kicked out from its attached nursing school. This was a huge achievement for Chua, but after a few years, one of his co-workers accused him of stealing 1,070 pesos, the equivalent of approximately 3,000 pesos or $60 in today's money. Chua was immediately taken off work and ordered not to return while the allegations were being investigated. His anger over how he had been treated was made worse by the realization that his salary was far too low to justify the challenges he encountered at work daily. Chua married his girlfriend Mary Ann in 1996, and he had two daughters with her. At the time he was accused of stealing his co-worker's money, Chua was only earning about 200 pesos a day, about 600 pesos or $12 in today's money, not nearly enough to support his wife and children. As the investigation on him continued, Chua began looking into jobs abroad, knowing that if he stayed in the Philippines, he wouldn't earn much more than his current salary. Chua stumbled upon an announcement that the British Prime Minister Tony Blair made about recruiting foreign nurses to work in hospitals across the UK. In 2002, after the Metropolitan Medical Center dismissed the case against him due to lack of evidence, Chua was finally free to pursue his dreams abroad. That same year, he came across a newspaper ad inviting Filipino nurses to work at an elderly facility in the UK. He quickly applied for the post, paying a local fixer approximately 136,000 pesos, double the amount in today's money, to ensure he had the right set of documents for his visa. The price, while high, was worth it, and on February 21, 2002, Chua boarded a flight to London, with his wife Mary Ann and their children following later. Finally, in the UK, Victorino Chua managed to land jobs at several private nursing facilities, including a place called Newlands Care Home located in the town of Stockport in Greater Manchester. Chua did well enough during the training program required for foreign nurses that his Newlands Care Home supervisors recommended him to the Nursing and Midwifery Council, the regulatory board responsible for allowing foreign nurses to qualify as registered nurses in the UK. Chua was asked to prove his qualifications by submitting documents that showed his previous work experience, training, and education. These were not thoroughly checked, however, and in 2003, Chua finally became a registered nurse in the UK. In 2007, Chua resigned from his post at Newlands Care Home and landed a temporary position as a bank nurse with the UK's National Health Service, or NHS. 2 years later, he secured a permanent position at Stepping Hill Hospital, which accepted him without thoroughly examining his credentials. This decision would ultimately prove to be fatal. Stepping Hill Hospital is a medium-sized district general hospital in Stockport, Greater Manchester. It has an 800-bed capacity and employs around 4,500 staff, more than half of which are nurses. When Chua got his job at Stepping Hill Hospital, he was already in his early 40s with almost 20 years of nursing experience. The behavior that he exhibited as a nurse at his new workplace, however, was contrary to what his supervisors at Newlands Care Home had to say about him in their recommendation letter. He was said to be deeply unpopular at Stepping Hill Hospital, both with co-workers and patients. In one instance, he was assigned to care for an elderly woman being treated for respiratory problems. According to the woman, Chua had rubbed cream into her buttocks late at night despite her protests, but in the end, her complaint to hospital authorities was dismissed. Another incident involved a woman named Anna Dodd who got into a fight with Chua when he refused to give her mother a heart monitor. After Chua was reprimanded by his supervisor, he returned to the patient's room and angrily threw a heart monitor onto a table. There were also allegations from Chua's co-workers that he falsified signatures, forged statements, and stole drugs for his personal use, but none of these were investigated back then. Chua became a British citizen sometime in 2008, a status that enabled him to continue working at Stepping Hill Hospital, even though he had been diagnosed with hepatitis B. He had made it out of the Philippines, was a British citizen, and had a stable job, but despite all of these, he spiraled into a severe depression, which he tried to treat by consuming large quantities of painkillers and sleeping tablets that he had stolen from the hospital pharmacy. Because of this, he was required to receive counseling from the occupational health team at Stepping Hill Hospital. They advised him to try writing down his frustrations, which he did in a 13-page letter he titled Bitter Nurse Confession, the same letter that would later shed a light on Chua's motivations for his crimes. Despite his deteriorating mental health, Chua's managers weren't alerted by the Stepping Hill Hospital occupational health team, and he was assigned to the night shift on the male and female acute medical wards called A1 and A3 respectively. Nearly every patient in those wards was elderly and received saline solutions, either for hydration or for introducing prescribed medications into their systems. These saline solutions dripped from bags, which were administered to the patients intravenously through cannula. Sometime in June 2011, Chua began cutting tiny slits in the saline solution bags and inserting a hypodermic syringe into their openings. If any patient questioned him about what he was doing, he told them he was simply administering their medication. But unknown to them, Chua was injecting insulin into their systems, insulin that along with the saline solution bags he was able to get from the storage room of each ward. This was incredibly dangerous, as insulin is meant for diabetic patients, and even a very small amount of insulin will cause the body's glucose or sugar levels to fall. Glucose is meant to fuel the body, and low glucose levels will result in hypoglycemia, the typical signs and symptoms of which are sweating, pale skin, increased heart rate, and decreased body temperature. In severe cases of hypoglycemia, there may be tremors and even fits, and the patient may become confused or irrational. If untreated, prolonged glucose deprivation will lead to loss of consciousness and eventually a deep coma, and it can even result in irreversible brain damage and death. Elderly and infirm patients are particularly susceptible to insulin poisoning, and unfortunately, this demographic made up the bulk of Chua's Ward A1 and A3 patients. Chua didn't stop at injecting insulin into the saline drips of his patients, however. He also injected insulin into the plastic saline ampoules that were used by other nurses to treat their patients. Because of this, some of them unwittingly ended up poisoning the people assigned in their care, making Chua's victims mostly random. One of Chua's first victims was 68-year-old Josephine Walsh, who was being treated on June 27, 2011 on Ward A3 for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. She had been previously alert, but when she was being prepared to be moved to another ward, she was found slumped unconscious in a chair. She was treated for two apparently random hypoglycemic attacks and her condition improved, but the incident was only investigated internally. Almost 2 weeks later, on July 10, five male patients on Ward A1 had similar hypoglycemic episodes, even though none of them had shown a history of hypoglycemia. One of them, 41-year-old Grant Meisel, had been admitted to have his breathing monitored after overdosing on prescription medication. The next morning, he was observed as having a seizure, and his blood sugar levels when examined were extremely low. He was given emergency treatment that required a long period of time in intensive care while on ventilator support. Another one of the five male patients on Ward A1 that had a hypoglycemic attack was 67-year-old Philip Jones. He only came to the hospital for antibiotics, and on the evening of July 10, his saline bag for his medication had emptied. A nurse came to replace the saline bag, and within 5 seconds, Jones began to feel hot and sweaty. He got up from his bed to wash his face in the sink, but he didn't make it and instead fell on the bed while experiencing difficulty of breathing. Fortunately, nurses came in and gave him glucose, and Jones was the only one of the five male victims that night who was actually diabetic, though he regulated his blood glucose levels with diet and not with insulin injections. Five hypoglycemic attacks in one ward and in a span of one evening made the staff at Stepping Hill Hospital suspicious. But none of them were able to detect early on the fact that the victims had been poisoned with insulin. The following evening on July 11, a nurse on Ward A3 noticed that a saline solution bag she was about to administer to a patient looked foamy instead of clear. The other saline bags were checked and some of them were found to be leaking. 45 of them had been punctured, 19 of which had been contaminated. To rule out the possibility that all saline bags in stock had been contaminated, all of them were replaced. Storage rooms were locked, and any fluid to be taken from them had to have two nurses going in and signing for it. Stepping Hill Hospital happened to be on the same site as the NHS Quality Control Northwest, which tested pharmaceuticals to ensure their quality. The contaminated saline solution bags were sent to them for checking, and within a couple of hours came the result that the contaminant was likely to be insulin. A total of 20 patients, however, had already been poisoned in a 4-week period with the contaminated saline bags. 3 of them, unfortunately, passed away. The first death was that of 44-year-old mother of two, Tracy Arden, who had been diagnosed with a degenerative disease similar to multiple sclerosis. After developing a mild infection, Arden was sent to Stepping Hill Hospital for observation on July 6, 2011. Her doctors were optimistic that she would recover after taking antibiotics, but her condition rapidly deteriorated shortly after admission. Lab tests showed that her blood glucose levels were extremely low, which led to brain damage and acute respiratory problems, rendering her unable to breathe properly. Arden was declared dead after suffering from hypoglycemia for nearly 8 hours. The second death was that of 83-year-old Alfred Derek Weaver, who was taken to Stepping Hill Hospital on July 10, 2011 for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and heart failure. The following morning, his blood test showed that he had unnatural insulin levels as well as very low blood sugar. His condition deteriorated in the following days and he died in agony on July 21, 10 days after his admission. The third death was that of 71-year-old Arnold Lancaster, who was diagnosed with terminal esophageal cancer. He was admitted on July 10, 2011, and began receiving his medication by way of saline bags. The following afternoon, he passed away after exhibiting symptoms of severe hypoglycemia. Following the three deaths, the staff at Stepping Hill Hospital alerted the Greater Manchester Police, or GMP, who was about to have the biggest case they'd had in a decade. They assigned over 60 detectives to the case, and as an added precaution, armed police guards were stationed in hallways and wards of Stepping Hill Hospital, while nurses were required to work in pairs whenever a patient needed their medication to be administered. On July 20, 2011, the police publicly announced that they had arrested 27-year-old Rebecca Layton, a nurse assigned to wards A1 and A3. She was charged with 3 counts of causing criminal damage with intent to endanger life, along with other charges like theft after she was accused of regularly stealing painkillers for personal use. Layton's motive was thought to have been getting passed over for a promotion. She was imprisoned for 6 weeks at Stile Prison, but was eventually released after the Crown Prosecution Service found no evidence and dropped all charges against her. Layton's nursing registration had been suspended when news of her being linked to the insulin poisonings was made public. Though she was later reinstated by the Nursing and Midwifery Council, she had been removed from her post at Stepping Hill Hospital because of the stealing. Layton received a payout from the GMP that amounted to £53,000, or about 3 million pesos, after she sued them for leaking her identity to the media, despite having no solid evidence to tie her to the murders. With Layton cleared, the GMP publicly admitted their mistake and announced that they were searching for another suspect. More than 5 months later, on December 30, 2011, 82-year-old Theresa Bailey was taken to Stepping Hill Hospital with chest pain. Her patient records later show that somebody had increased the dosages of her heart medications. Had the increased dosages not been noticed, Bailey could have suffered a stroke, heart attack, kidney damage, or all three. The following month, in January 2012, several medication orders in the charts of Ward A3 patients were found to have been intentionally altered. Stepping Hill Hospital had dismissed Rebecca Layton before the incident with Theresa Bailey and the others occurred, which meant that Layton couldn't have been responsible for altering the dosages. Authorities weren't sure yet whether these cases were related to the previous insulin poisonings, but they were able to tie the incidents to a certain group of hospital staff, and among them was Filipino nurse Victorino Chua. On January 5, 2012, the 46-year-old Chua was arrested at his family home on 28 Churchill Street in Stockport, England. The arrest was for suspicion of tampering with medical records, but he was eventually released on bail because all the evidence against him was circumstantial. Chua remained as the primary suspect though, and when police searched his home, they came across his bitter nurse confession in his kitchen drawer. In the letter, he wrote about his childhood, how much he was hated, and how much he hated the hospital staff and his patients. He wrote that people thought he was a nice man, but he wasn't, and there was actually an evil about him. He even called himself the Angel of Death, prompting the GMP to treat the letter as Chua's confession to his crimes. On March 28, 2014, Chua was again arrested and finally charged with the murders of Tracy Arden, Derek Weaver, and Arnold Lancaster. He was also charged with 31 other offenses, including attempted poisoning, deliberately contaminating medical devices, altering prescriptions, and grievous bodily harm, which under English criminal law is considered the severest form of assault. Chua's trial began shortly after his second arrest, and the Crown Prosecution Service painted him as a narcissistic psychopath, a claim they substantiated using Chua's letter. Besides this, they also told the jury that Chua had poisoned and killed his patients as a way to express his personal frustrations. For instance, 73-year-old Jack Beely was admitted to Stepping Hill Hospital with vomiting and shortness of breath. He was confused and shouting incoherently, trying to pull his saline drip out. So Chua contaminated his saline bag for the sole purpose of shutting him up. The defense argued that Chua's letter was written in June 2010, a year before the poisonings, and only as part of a counseling session. While it may have given a glimpse into the troubled mind of Chua, the letter didn't tie him directly to the insulin poisonings. The prosecution, however, had a smoking gun. It had been found that Chua was the nurse looking after Grant Mizell when he suddenly became unwell. Chua had taken a blood glucose reading from Mizell without any doctor's order, and though blood samples taken for such purposes were usually destroyed afterward, the sample that Chua took happened to be stored and frozen at random. That sample was sent for testing and was found to contain synthetic insulin, medication that could have only been administered by Chua. Media coverage on Chua's trial was extensive, though many news outlets were criticized for sensationalizing the case and were even accused of promoting racism against Filipinos. Filipinos in the UK actually staged protests outside the Daily Mail's West London office when the newspaper published feature articles with titles like NHS Still Hiring Filipino Nurses and It's Not Racist to Worry About Foreign Nurses. It didn't help the image of Filipino nurses when investigators revealed that Chua had falsified his documents. Not only did he graduate from one of the worst nursing schools in the Philippines, but Chua also lacked the credentials required to work as a professional nurse in the UK. According to GMP officers who traveled to Manila to investigate, there were inconsistencies between Chua's two nursing certificates, which they unfortunately were unable to verify. This meant, however, that even if one of Chua's certificates was right, the other certainly wasn't, which made his qualifications as a nurse definitely questionable. According to prosecutors, Chua didn't even take his final nursing exam, as he would have had to present a photo of himself before taking the test. The photo on record of who took the exam under Chua's name didn't look remotely like Chua, suggesting that he had paid someone else to take the licensure exam for him. On May 18, 2015, after a 3-month trial and an 11-day deliberation, the Manchester Crown Court jury convicted Victorino Chua of murdering Tracy Arden and Derek Weaver. He was also found guilty of 22 counts of attempted grievous bodily harm, 1 count of grievous bodily harm, 7 counts of attempting to administer poison, and 1 count of administering poison. He was acquitted, however, of killing Arnold Lancaster since his death couldn't be separated from the terminal cancer that he had already been diagnosed with. Chua was ultimately sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum term of 35 years. The Nursing and Midwifery Council also permanently banned him from working as a nurse, that is, if he ever gets out of prison. The Stepping Hill Hospital poisonings resulted in widespread backlash against the Nursing and Midwifery Council, which was blamed for neglecting to thoroughly check Chua's credentials before allowing him to work as a registered nurse in the UK. In response to the backlash, the council's chief executive and registrar, Jackie Smith, issued a public apology and stated that they had since strengthened their vetting process. In particular, she said that applicants now had to present original documentation and undergo a face-to-face interview, as well as a two-stage test of competence. This was a huge contrast to the process when Chua flew to the UK in 2002, back when applicants were only required to present photocopies of their documents. With regard to changes made specifically at Stepping Hill Hospital, Anne Barnes, chief executive of Stockport NHS Foundation Trust, said that their quote, "storage of saline and management of prescription charts at the time of the incident was typical of those in other hospitals across the country. Whilst no hospital systems and processes can offer a complete guarantee against the actions of a determined criminal, additional measures are now in place which go beyond standard practice," end quote. Examples of these measures include, quote, CCTV in all ward treatment and drug storage rooms, electronic prescribing, and an enhanced system for locking treatment rooms and storing insulin, end quote. In June 2015, Chua's defense lawyer, Jeremy Moore, filed permission to appeal against his client's sentence, saying that the minimum jail term of 35 years was excessive and that the trial judge had ruled incorrectly. Chua, meanwhile, maintained his innocence, saying that all the evidence against him was purely circumstantial. A year later, in July 2016, the Court of Appeal in London rejected Chua's appeal, with Lord Justice Tracy stating that the minimum jail term of 35 years wasn't excessive at all given the severity of Chua's crimes. As of this recording, Victorino Chua hasn't attempted to file another appeal. He remains in Strange Ways, a high-security men's prison located in Manchester, England, and he would be 84 years old before he's eligible for parole. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This story was suggested by Pauline Mendoza by email, and this episode, co-written by Kayla De Leon, was narrated and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.